Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Glory to God. It's great to see each one of you here. You know, out there, is this my hamburger? It looks like a to-go plate, doesn't it? It looks like Christmas out there. It's gorgeous. It's like the Lord renews the earth. And yeah. Where's my... Did each of you get this? I got a dud. Sorry. Oh. Sorry. That's better. It's great when you get toys when you come to church. So this is our noisemaker. We are celebrating Purim. Yay! And we'll explain this in a moment. It's going to be fun. It's very prophetic, the season, and to see the snow come and renew the earth. It's beautiful. And when you go out, you're going to get cookies. It's a special cookie called Hamantaschen.
Hamantaschen.
Say Hamantaschen.
Hamantaschen.
These are either him, the bad guy in this story. That's a bad guy.
Very bad guy.
Ooh. So we're going to do boo. Anytime I mention the name of Haman,
ooh,
you go boo. Ooh. Yes, boo. There are other names that I could say, and you could say boo too, but anyway. There are bad guys. Like Al-Qaeda. Boo! I mean, that's a bad thing. So that represents victory over evil. The Lord gives us the victory. So you're going to celebrate. You can take this cookie home, or you can just eat it right here on the way when you go home. They smell good. Haman's, that some call it Haman's ears, some Haman's pockets. It just means Haman is defeated. The evil guy. Yes, yes. Amen. So, say the Lord gives us the victory.
Lord gives us the victory.
Raise your hands. Just. Father, we honor your name. In everything, you get the glory. We give praise to the name of Jesus, the resurrected Savior, the Lord, the King of glory. Rule over us, Lord. We bind every spirit of Haman, every evil power. Thank you for the freedoms, the liberties we enjoy in America. We say, God bless the USA. God protect us. We give you glory, Lord. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the one who gives the victory to each of us, to our children, to our grandchildren. We declare through the name of Jesus, through his complete work, we have the victory. So we celebrate the triumph of Purim. Yay! Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to kind of have a eagle's eye perspective on the book of Esther. Today, this is in the Feast of Purim. The Jewish people celebrate the book of Esther and what God did. And it's an awesome book that I would like for you to, it's just 9 chapters in there, not that long. And so it would be appropriate for you to read it today. If you're going to complete it, read tomorrow. It's not long. So you could, husband and wife, you could do it, enjoy. We used to read it to our children. And then we would, when our children were growing up, they were their initial days were in Florida. We had a lot of Jewish bakeries. But we have Jewish bakeries here. I think we got this from the Jewish bakery. So a lot of Hamantaschen. So we would read the book of Esther. And so I want you to turn to the book of Esther. And we're going to start with Esther chapter 1. So, praise God. Now, if you were in Israel at this time, if you attended any of the synagogues, this is a wild time. The rabbis get dressed up in the silliest outfits, and they tell jokes. Some good ones, and some really bad jokes. And they dress up as clowns, and it's really, you'd say, what is happening? And they are celebrating Purim. And Purim is from the book of Esther. And just think, the whole calendar of the Jewish people honors this one woman of God, Queen Esther. Isn't that amazing? So there are two books in the Bible that are entirely devoted to these two women. So anyone who says that God does not have diversity or whatever, I mean, he loves his daughters as much as he loves his sons. Amen? So, all righty. So let's start with Esther, chapter 1. And it says, are you ready? Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. So this was one of the largest empires in history. Do you have the picture, that slight map? Are you able to bring it? If you will see, if you can make out the borders, you see the border around Egypt. There's a white strip that goes down. And then there is another strip all goes all the way down the borders of India. Just think, and the most of the Middle East, all of Turkey, all the in between, this is one of the largest territories on earth. I mean, it's a large empire. So this is not a small bitty province. We are talking about a culture that affected millions of people. And this is the Persian Empire. So there was the Babylonian Empire, and then the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And this is the Persian Empire. I don't know how many of you saw the movie 300. It's a great movie. And it's, of course, they make it quite fun because it's a movie. I enjoyed it. By the way, it's for adults because it's pretty bloody. But it relates one of the true stories of the Spartans doing battle against the Persian Empire. So it was this empire that they battled. And at that time, then, it was very impactful for us. Just a little side note of some major history, because in a sense, it impacted us and the Judeo-Christian culture, because it helped the Greeks got the victory during that time. And because of that, the Greek language spread across these strategic areas. And then the Messiah came, Jesus. And the gospel then was able to spread across these strategic areas in the Greek language. So we have the original New Testament was written in Greek. Derek Prince was one of the Greek, he was a Cambridge scholar in Greeks, in the Greek language. All right, enough of the, I wanted to give you a big panoramic view of the history and how big a territory you are calling about. So when Queen Esther becomes queen, she's queen over this large section of the earth. And of course, the emperor is Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus. Sat on the throne of the kingdom which was in Shushan, the citadel, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. And so they had 127 large provinces, and all the governors of the provinces were there, and all the junior governors of those provinces. And so they used to do this pomp and circumstance and amazing amount of gold and wealth being shown. And so this was to impress everybody how great the king was, his greatness, his majesty. And when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. They were white. And it says white and blue linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen and purple on silver rods and marble pillars. And the couches were of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise, and white and black marble. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance according to the generosity of the king. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. So if you wanted to have lots of drinks, you could, or you could say no, thank you. Now, this is a story that is filled with amazing drama. It's filled with suspense. It's filled with romance, murder, jealousy, anger, plots to assassinate. And there are heroes and villains, rich and poor. And what is wonderful about this story is a happy ending. How many of you like happy endings? I don't like to watch depressing things. I avoid watching certain crime shows because they, for me, they are depressing. By the way, in that, it's important to be sensitive to your spirit when you watch some things. Don't expose yourself to things that will impart to you a spirit of depression or discouragement or make you feel, everything is bad. That's why I dislike the large mainstream news media, because they always emphasize the negative, especially about our nation. Just an aside in that area. This is really the greatest country in the world. And you can just see it. People, millions of people want to come here. And that's a good thing. They want to immigrate here. You don't see them, too many of them wanting, millions wanting to immigrate to Haiti. Or I could name many other nations. Nothing, I mean, I'm Haitians, they're wonderful people. I've been in Haiti and had one of the first crusades in 86 that was allowed to broadcast all across the nation. So appreciate the Haitians. Anyway, so here is this awesome story. And the heroes, I said there, it has heroes. Now it has five, I would say, big stars. There is King Ahasuerus. And in this story, he is a good king, but malleable. There is, get ready, there is evil Haman. Leo, did your wife not allow you to have one? We could get you one. I don't know where it went. Oh, you got one. Oh, great. Good. I was watching. And, of course, Esther. Yay! And her uncle, Mordecai. Yay! He's awesome. Oh, wow. They even have a picture of him. He's set for that portrait. And there is also many of the people will miss him, but he's the Haggai, the eunuch, who shows favor to Esther. He's a good guy. Yay! So, and so, and it is a, there's a beauty pageant. I mean, it's fun. There she is, Miss Persia. What was the word? Da, da, da. Do you remember? Who was the guy that used to sing that? Bert Parks, yeah. He was great. I mean, he did it for so many years. There she is. Anyway, So, this is during the month of Adar. This happens. And there's a conspiracy to kill the king by two eunuchs who are pretty high in the palace. And Mordecai finds out about it and tells, yay! And tells Esther, yay! Who tells the king that his plan to kill you and is able to save the king's life. So the one who saves him is King Haman. Now, at the feast, it says Queen Vashti, verse 9, also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded all these officials, the seven eunuchs, who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing a royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Now the eunuchs in those times were trusted men who would have great authority in the kingdom. Daniel, by the way, was one of them, like that, and he had a high office. So Queen Vashti humiliates the king in front of all the main officials of the whole empire. Then the king said to the wise men who understood the times, for this was the king's manner toward all who knew law and justice. And he gives the name of the closest people. What shall we do to the Queen Vashti according to law, because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus brought to her by the eunuchs? And this was a major offense to the king. See, it's not so much that it was a minor argument. The example would impact every home in the empire, because the highest officials saw the king, in a sense, kind of humiliated. That is a no-no. And but he didn't take her head off. He exiled her, which is a new King Henry VIII. Did other things. He would execute the queens he didn't like. For the queen's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes when they report King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought in before him, but she did not come. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the king's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen. Thus there will be excessive contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him. Let it be recorded in the laws of Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give a royal position to another who is better than she. So this is a decree that goes out. And the reply pleased the king and the princes, and they did according to the word of Memucan. Then he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province in his own script, to every people in their language, that each man should be master in his own house. Anyway, after these things, when the wrath of the king subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, chapter 2, what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servant who attended him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, Let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to Shushan, the capital, in the women's quarters, under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, custodian of the women, and let beauty preparations be given them. Then let the young women who pleases the king, young woman who pleases the king, be queen instead of Vashti. This thing pleased the king, and he did so. So there, this is where the beauty pageant happens. At the same time, Haman is one of the characters that's boo. And now, here it's, they mentioned the verse 8, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. Say favor. So that's one of the themes you find in the book of Esther, is that Esther is unique. God's hand is on her, and wherever she goes, she has favor. Esther is an orphan. She has no parents. And Mordecai, yay, she has favor with Mordecai, and he adopts her as his own daughter. Wonderful, wonderful father figure in this whole book. The other thing I want to mention is that the Lord, God, is totally in control throughout the whole book, and yet his name is not mentioned. This is one of the mysteries. See, that this is one of the unique books that you find God all over the place, and yet he is hidden. And that's, again, a truth that you need to perceive for yourself as you get mature in the Lord, is to see the hand of the Lord in every situation you confront. He may not be right there on the surface, but know that he is under, he has everything under his control. So as Esther comes, Haggai gives her special treatment, and this is for month after month. They have that these young girls are trained to be the most gorgeous women. And they have the special ointment set aside. So one is all kinds of different oils. And they bathe in these oils day after day after day. And they are bathed in these fragrances. And so when that young lady walks in, she is full of the fragrance. And of course, this is a picture, in many ways, of course, of the bride of Christ, then, that she has a fragrance of the Holy Spirit. So we are supposed to be in that same pattern. We are anointed with oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit. And then there is a fragrance of the Holy Spirit. One is external, the other is internal. How, what do you have inside? What do you carry? Is it love and mercy and compassion? You find that Esther carries all of it. And then externally, when you smell her, she's, oh, the fragrances are all around her. Anyway, so in this story then, Mordecai, yay. Well, let's go. I mean, I would have to go really fast. Mordecai instructs Esther to keep her identity secret, not to tell people, she's Jewish. Esther had not revealed, verse 10, her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare, what is happening to her. And each woman, young woman's turn came to go into the king's presence after she had completed 12 months. Say 12 months. But think of that. This was not, okay, you're going to be in this spa for Saturday and Sunday. It is 12 months, a whole year of beauty treatments. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called her by name. But now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, had advised. Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. See that? Favor. Say favor.
Favor.
And that's what part of the thing I'm praying is that God give each of you, wherever you are, favor. Say favor.
Favor.
And pray that your children and your grandchildren each have favor. Wherever, I mean, not just the young women, but the men. That wherever they go, they have favor. Favor, favor, favor. So that's one of the big words in this book. And this season of Purim, may we come into fresh favor. You and your family. You and your finances. You and your house. You and your bank account. Whatever you do, whatever you lay your hands on, there is favor. When we wrote, when I wrote my first book, Only Love Can Make a Miracle, how many of you have had a chance to read it? Yeah, it's quite well known out there in the world. And it's all across Russia, I was told. I didn't know it. Anyway, I had one of the major Catholic publishing houses phoned me. This was in the sometime around 87, 88. And they said, God spoke to us that we are supposed to publish your book. I said, what book? I had not written any book. But on my journeys, I'd kept a journal of different things that happened because I loved the miracles of God. So I had notes of all of this. And they said, no, God told us you have a book. So that forced me into writing the first book. And then all the others, so many others followed. And God gave us favor almost for every book. And I'm grateful. May the favor of the Lord rest over everything that you do. Small things, big things. I remember when we flew into Neenah, Wisconsin, just a couple of years ago. I think I've told you this story. And we would always, when we fly in there, we stop, we get enough time for about 1 o'clock to have a lunch. Then we go prepare for the evening service. And so those people stop, and Michael was with me. And the Lord says, I'll show you what, I would just have fun. Or I want you to order everything on the menu, from every section. So I just usually have a salad, usually for lunch. God said, order an appetizer, order a main dish, order a dessert. I said, I'm not hungry. And I said, see what I do. We went in there, ordered everything, and after, not only me, but I think Michael and the pastor was driving us. And then the manager of the Olive Garden turned, he got all of her order ready, and he handed it to us. And the pastor gave his credit card. He said, "No charge. This is free." We didn't understand, but the Lord just gave it for free. Just a little example of favor, that wherever you go, in small, that's what I meant, in small things, in big things. And then as you have favor, show favor to others. Let it be infectious so that, I mean, when I see someone in uniform eating lunch somewhere or whatever, or dinner, we'll go out. I mean, Bonnie and I will just pay their whole bill, the whole table, say, "Thank you for your service." So when you get favor, you want to show favor to others. Don't just take it. Anyway, the plot here is Haman is boo. Yeah. He finds that everybody he commands, he's so full of himself, totally of pride, that he commands people to bow to him, not to the king, to him, where I am Haman. Boo. Anyway, so Mordecai is Jewish. He bows only to the living God. So he said, "I don't bow to you." Well, Haman is mad. He loves power. So when Mordecai does not bow, he finds out he's not only against Mordecai, but he represents the whole tribe of people who are peculiar, who bow to the living God, but won't bow to men. And he says, "Not only am I not going to kill Mordecai, but I'm going to kill all the Jewish people." And the Persian Empire captured the area of Israel and had taken captive most of the Israelites. So they live in the Persian Empire. So if he had been successful, he would have killed the Jewish people. Therefore, from the Jewish people was going to emerge who? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. This was in about 500 years before Jesus. Since around 505. Jesus is still waiting to be born. And the devil knows something is going to emerge from this peculiar people that's going to destroy his kingdom. He doesn't know the details. God has kept it secret, but he has some kind of idea. I got to destroy this people. He representative, therefore, of evil principalities, satanic powers that are always around. He represents the demonic spirit that wants to destroy God's people. So you find, when you perceive, for example, the ISIS people. Yeah, boo is correct. They represent the spirit of Haman. And they kill. They have destroyed. They kill Israel. Of course, Jews would be destroyed completely. But Christians, they massacred them in the thousands. Yazidis, other people also. What is that? That is the spirit of Haman, the same spirit that Haman had. So that's, God is teaching us a lesson. When 2,500 years later, Hitler rises up, it's a demonic spirit that descends on him and his followers that wants to kill the Jews. So remember that these are spiritual forces. When we pray and bind principalities and power, that's the spirit of Haman. All right? Kill the Jews. So he persuades the king to make a decree, kill all the Jews. And now Esther has been chosen to be queen. She's anointed by God. But it's because she has a destiny and a purpose. So even though she's an orphan, she may have said, nobody wants me, at least Mordecai has adopted me. Whatever happens in your life, know this. Number one, God is in control. Number two, you have a destiny. Whatever history you have had, there are many people who have had a history. Their father has been an alcoholic. He has abused the mother, beats, and then they come out with, you know, the background is full of abuse and pain. There has been addiction in the house and horrendous background, where people have been beaten or molested or whatever. It doesn't matter. When you know the Lord, know that you have destiny. Say destiny. Destiny. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have destiny. So each of us, from the book of Esther, we learn that doesn't matter what kind of background you have. You may be an orphan, you have been abused. God's hand is on you, and you have destiny. Amen? Amen? So realize the mystery of destiny, the hand of God over us, and he puts us at strategic places, and revival may come to an area, or a key person in a family is saved because of your example. You have destiny, and you may have changed thousands of people's lives. That missionary lady who gave me a Bible so many years ago did not know that really millions of people would be affected through the life of this young man. She just gave a Bible. But she had destiny. She had a part, and part of her inheritance is all the thousands of people that Pastor Bonnie and I have brought to the Lord. Amen. By the way, Pastor Bonnie is in New Mexico preaching. That's the state she came from, and she had to help do a wedding for her niece yesterday, and then she's preaching at one of the most Holy Ghost churches in Albuquerque today. So she sends her greetings to you guys. Anyway, now they find out that Haman has made this decree against the Jews. He's going to kill all the Jews. And that's when Mordecai finds out this is the plan to kill the Jews. He tells Esther, they're going to kill the Jews. You got to go and ask the king to turn the decree around. Do something that your people may be saved. Now, her identity is hidden. She can say to Mordecai, they'll kill me. In fact, there is a rule unless you have been invited and brought before the king, you cannot approach the king on your own. And in fact, people are executed for that. So she has to determine, shall I go to the king and risk my life? And that's where she says, in it, chapter 4. Verse 13, Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent all this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is one of the most awesome prophetic words. Yes. Each of us has destiny. And how do you know that God has not placed you at that place to do this specific thing for such a time as this? Say, for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. So I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Isn't that something? Say, if I perish, I perish. This is one of the most awesome quotes in the Bible. This is one of the bravest women in history. And she risks it all when she doesn't have to, but for the sake of the people, she does not, may not know unconsciously, but she is saving the line from whom Messiah will come. So know that the hand of God is in control. He is saving that line from which the whole earth, every family on earth, will be blessed. So realize that this book is strategic for us all because our salvation depends on this mission. Remember the Mission Impossible? Dun, 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 dun. Well, this is one of the greatest Mission Impossibles. And realize that a woman is given that destiny and a purpose to change the history of the whole world by risking her life to come before the king. And so favor is not only important for you to bless you, but favor determines destiny also. So it is important. It is not selfish to pray, Lord, give me favor. Because from that favor, many can be blessed. Am I making sense? Yes. So if I perish, I perish. And here you see the principle, one of the greatest principles that we exercise every year here as a corporate body. We just finished 40 days together. And see, this is one of the most powerful corporate fasts in history. The people are shaping history through their fast. So this God reveals, amazing. And we don't understand how Esther understood this, but she must have been taught something about fasting and prayer, because she tells one thing. She says, I'm going to risk my life, but tell all the people, fast. That means that your prayer request is intensified 1,000-fold when you fast and pray. That's why we do at least twice a year we go on a corporate fast. And we have seen amazing miracles, from cancer healings to when people beat themselves. Tourette syndrome, sorry. But we had a family it happens of sometimes it starts with kids and it goes on where they cannot stop hitting themselves and speaking some of the most horrible things. And it they cannot explain the disease. But it's basically completely incurable. And he had one of the most aggressive attacks in that. And we went, this is some years ago, on a 21-day fast. And one of the main requests was for him to be healed. And he had an appointment in Charleston in the whole nation, there are five major experts. And there's a lady doctor, specialist in Tourette's in Charleston, in an appointment on the 21st day of our fast. And when he went there, he did not have any manifestation. And she said, if you had I would have seen it here. And God gave the total victory and deliverance. So, as Esther goes before the presence of the king, he extends his scepter and accepts her. And what is your request? And she says, my request is, come to my house, to my palace. So each of his each of his wives, she was the queen though, primary. Come and eat at my house. Remember, one of the ways to reach a man's heart is through his tummy. And maybe that's why Pastor Bonnie asked her, she would, for her young pastor, she's just a bachelor lady, young lady. She would fix all kinds of desserts for me and bring them to church. See, this is for you, Pastor. Now I have a revelation. Wondered how it worked. I'm just teasing. Anyway, the king comes and he invites Haman to be with him. Oh, Haman is full of it. Boo, yes. That is evil Haman. I like that. They have a picture of Haman. That's exactly like him. And at the same time, Haman is so frustrated with Mordecai. He has built a giant gallows to hang this man when the decrees come to pass that to kill the Jews. And Esther, they come back, the king comes and eats at Esther's house. What is your request? My request is, come to my house again tomorrow. And has a big banquet for the king. This is not just one small dish, this is a banquet for the king. Then, at the second banquet, what is your request? Up to half my kingdom. And she says, please do not destroy me. I said, what? I'm not saying it. Anyone who would dare to kill the queen? He said, you have passed a decree to destroy all the Jews. She said, who has done this? Haman. Boo. And the king has a revelation. And in the meantime, the king cannot go to sleep. And he says, okay, read to me my chronicles. And he remembers that Mordecai has saved his life. And so the king brings Haman in. How do I honor a man who has saved my life? Put a royal robe on him, march him through the city, and say what a great man he is and give him a big position. So that's great. Let's do it for Mordecai. And it totally, Haman is humiliated. He goes home. But at the time that the revelation comes, that Esther tells the king, he is the one who has made this decree. He is completely turned. The thing is turned around. He begs Queen Esther for mercy, Haman is, and what, he takes hold of her garments and wraps himself around her legs. And the king has walked out. He comes back in and says, you nasty person, you are even molesting the queen? We're going to hang you. And the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai, Haman, is hanged. So that's the total turnaround that God gives to his people. Amen. And he cannot change his decree. That's one of the fascinating things. Yes, but he can, I mean, he cannot totally cancel it out, but he can change it. And he tells throughout the whole of the Persian Empire, gives permission to the Jews to defend themselves with all the weapons they have. Get together. Anyone who tries to kill you, you kill them. And so they do. And they give numbers of people where they kill them to defend themselves. So that helps us realize God has given us permission to defend ourselves, to save our lives. People get all kinds of weird about, well, we should be against violence, all of that. There is a principle in the Bible. You are allowed to defend yourselves and save your own life. Here you see, I just want to point out some of the principles. Number one, God was in control all the time, even though his name is not mentioned. Number two, Esther knows her identity. She's a Jew. For us, in the New Testament Christian, we are children of God. Therefore, you have this destiny. And God keeps his promises. Every promise he made, he is going to keep it. You can count on the promises of God. Every promise. He says, I shall provide. He is going to provide for you. When God said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He keeps his word. So, and favor is a major part of the message of the book of Esther. And so we want to celebrate today that God defeats the enemies of God's people. So today I'm just claiming fresh deliverance for us, favor for us, victory, and the defeat of Haman. Boo! Hallelujah. So, when do we get our cookies? On the way out. How about that? Aren't you glad you made it through the snow? This is a special token. And every one of you who takes one of these, I'm praying that you are going to have a great token of victory. Yeah. That God is totally at hand. And the other thing, just minor thing I need to let you go, is realize that Esther did not do it alone. She had Mordecai helping her. She had Haggai, the eunuch, who said, she's special. She's anointed, and she's going to bring blessing to my king and to the kingdom. There's something about her. So she had people helping her. May each of you get strategic help wherever you are in whatever endeavor. May God raise up Mordecai's and Haggai's supernatural assistance for you and give you favor. Know that the spirit Esther carries is a spirit of humility and submission. When Mordecai gives her instruction, she doesn't say, who are you? I'm a queen now of the whole of Persia. You can't give me instructions. No, she's a humble woman. See the fruit of the Spirit in her life. And she knows how to supplicate. That's as she goes to the king and the king puts that scepter out. May we go to the King of Glory. May he extend his scepter for every prayer request you have. And she was willing, at the time that was asked, she was willing to lay down her life. There are times where there are opportunities we prefer others. She prefers her people above her own self-interest. And the final thing I would point out is she does not have the gift of stupid. I remember as a young pastor, I had a wonderful elder's wife. I had wonderful ladies who just really prayed for me. Just a young pastor. I was so super spiritual. I'm glad I had practical women who advised me and prayed for me. And one of the big letters on the refrigerator that I would visit this elder and his wife, and she said, see this, pastor? This has helped me a lot. I said, what? She said, this is given by the Holy Spirit. I said, what is that? And she said, look at this, and she gave it to me. And it says, God has not called us to be stupid. So sometimes we, well, God led me. No, God does not lead you. Have common sense. So in this one, she does not just bumble into king's lives and king's presence and said, I want this. You better save my people. Uh-uh. She uses wisdom and strategy. Say wisdom. Say strategy. So in approaching things of God, use strategy. And wherever you want to start a business, whatever you want to do, a project, start it with God's wisdom and God's strategy. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand. Father, today we celebrate Purim. And we thank you. You save your people. And we thank you right now. We bless Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. We bless him. And we say, God bless America. Bless President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. Protect them, Lord. You read some of the last, is it yesterday, day before? There's a madman who was able to go all the way to the presence, whatever, to his, where he was there. And we want to pray that the people who are guarding him are not deaf and dumb and blind. But Lord, let the angels protect the president. Thank you. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for favor. Say favor, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for favor for your people, for me, for my family, for my loved ones, for All Nations Church, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big blessing. Thank you, Father.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.